Today we get to light this first Advent candle, and if you don't know about the Advent candles, each of these four Sundays before Christmas is a way of getting ready for Christmas. The word Advent is an old word, Adventus, that means coming or appearing of Jesus. And it describes the first coming when he was born in Bethlehem, but it's also a time of looking forward to. And so this morning, as we begin sort of this new series, by the way, you can't miss any of these next 4 weeks because they're all going to be building in this getting ready for the coming of Jesus, the coming of the King. But this morning, our focus is on the fact that the King is coming. And these words come to us from Jesus himself in Matthew 24. Jesus, right before the cross, right before all that he was going to go through, he actually told his disciples that there would be an advent, there would be another coming of him. It says in verse 36, "But about the day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, and up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in a field, and one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken, and the other left. Therefore, he says, keep watch, because you don't know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of a house had known at what time the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come, Advent, at an hour when you do not expect him." You know, you read those words, the King is coming, and the first question that maybe pops into your head is the question of when. It's the question of, you know, all of our life, right? I mean, we always want to know when something's going to happen. My kids are starting to get interested more and more into the when of Christmas. And our youngest one is already talking about, is Christmas coming, Daddy? Is Christmas coming? Is today Christmas? Is today Christmas? And we say to him, no, not yet. Wait. Not yet. Wait. My dad, when I was a kid, did a lot of traveling, and he would leave, and I always hated it. But he would be gone for a week or 2 weeks. Sometimes he'd be gone for a month, and he'd come back, and he would phone home first of all, and he would say, "I'll be home tomorrow or the next day." And as a little kid, I would say to my mom, "Is Dad coming home today? Is he coming home this morning? Is he coming home this afternoon?" And I would sort of sit there like a bird perched at the window, looking down the long driveway to see if Dad was coming home. My mom would say to me, "I don't know when he's coming home. You just have to wait." Jesus is saying this here in this passage of Scripture. He's saying that the question of when is answered in a very simple way. No one knows. No one knows. Not the guy that writes the best-selling book predicting the end of the world. Not the guy on television late at night or on some religious talk show. No one knows when it'll happen. You may be surprised that this was something that came up quite a bit in the life of Jesus. And not only in the Gospels, but in that amazing scene in the beginning of the book of Acts. Jesus is going to ascend into heaven, and he spent 40 days talking to his disciples after the resurrection, and he's been telling them about the kingdom of God that's coming, the reign of God that's coming, the rule of God that's coming. There'll be no more wars, and justice will be everywhere, and things will finally be put to right. Wouldn't that be a great day? And the disciples say, when is that going to happen? And Jesus says, well, just wait. This is his words in Acts 1:7 when they said, "Are you going to do it? Are you going to, Lord, are you at this time going to do this?" And he said, "It's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority." Later on, the apostle Paul would write a letter to the Corinthian church, this Macedonian church in the northern part of Greece, struggling church. And in the small church, someone had died. And the question came up, well, if they've died, then they've missed out on the glorious coming of Jesus. They've missed out on this arrival of the kingdom of God. I mean, they've missed out on this wonderful moment. But Paul told them, no, they haven't, because there's going to be a resurrection. There's going to be a thing where people who were dead are going to come back to life. They're going to see this moment. And then they ask the question, when? Here's the answer Paul gives in 1 Thessalonians 5:2. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write you. For you know very well the day the Lord will come. And you're expecting him to say, okay, here it is. It's going to be on December the... And he says, it will come like a thief in the night. It's almost like Paul's reading Jesus, isn't it, at this point? It will come like a thief in the night. Well, surely somebody knows when Jesus is coming back. I mean, right? I mean, Billy Graham must know, right? Billy Graham once wrote, many times when I go to bed at night, I think to myself that before I awaken, Christ may come. If this is true, then, I mean, he could come before the end of this sermon. I mean, really? Some of you say, well, I wish he would come now. This sermon's not going anywhere. He could come before the end of this week. Nobody's looking forward to all this holiday shopping. He could come before Christmas. The answer is yeah, because nobody knows when he can. Well, you say, well, surely Jesus knows, but if you look back at verse 36, it says, not even Jesus knows, which makes you ask another question. How? How could Jesus not know? Every kid in Sunday school knows that Jesus is God. Ask any Sunday school student any question, and the answer is always Jesus. Jesus is always the answer, right? How is it that Jesus couldn't know this? The answer is, Jesus was a real person. What we do is we imagine that Jesus was sort of God in a bod. Like if you cut open Jesus, you would see God inside. But that's not the way it works at all in the Bible. We're told that God actually became a real person. That born from Mary was a little baby, a real baby. I mean, when she put swaddling clothes on him, she had to take swaddling clothes off of him. Because like every baby, he wanted to eat and then he wanted to do you know what. When he was growing up as a little boy and he didn't take a bath and he was playing with his friends, he smelled bad, like we smell bad if we don't take baths. He was real. He was a real person, and we know it because he died on a real cross. You see, this was how it was. He just didn't know. In his humanity, he didn't know. Then we ask this other question of how. Well, if Jesus didn't know, how are we supposed to get ready for this moment? The answer for most people is they don't. I don't know, therefore I don't care. Out of sight, out of mind. When we were kids, we would sometimes have company come to the house. And some of you have had and will have some, I'm sure. And my mom was a fanatic about how clean the bathroom was when people came over. And the person's job it was to clean the bathroom was mine. My mom would say, so-and-so is coming over. David, clean the bathroom. I hated to clean the bathroom, to scrub the toilet. Do you know who used that toilet? To scrub the bathtub. I mean, how did all that weird stuff get in there? The bathroom cleaning job was the worst job you could ever give to any kid, but it was mine. You know what I was always tempted to do when my mom told me that? Was to pretend I never heard her say it. I never heard you say that, Mom. I tried that once, it didn't work out so well. Or I would try to hide out and pretend I couldn't hear her saying it. But the problem is eventually the company is going to show up and Mama's going to look at me and she's going to say, didn't I tell you to clean the bathroom? And if I didn't do it, I would feel it in the end, if you know what I mean. This is what Jesus is talking about in the story, isn't it? This idea of getting ready for the coming of the King. One way we shouldn't do it is by hiding out. We shouldn't do it by trying to just pretend like it's not going to happen. Jesus told a story like this in Matthew 25. He said there was a man who went on a journey, he went away, and then he came back. So he was going to have an advent, a coming. But they didn't know when he was going to come back. And before he had left, he had given everyone a job to do. One person, he said, I'm giving you 5 bags of gold. Your job is to manage this well. To someone else, he said, here's 2 bags. And to another one, he said, 1. When he finally came back, and they didn't know when he was coming back, he asked them, now what have you done with what I've given you? And the one with 5 says, look, I put it to work for you, and now you've got 10. And the one who had 2 says the same thing, and now you've got 4. But the one who had 1 said this, Master, I knew you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you've not scattered. And I was afraid. I went out and I hid your gold in the ground. See here, it's where it belongs to you. And he digs it up, dirt and all, I guess. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. You knew I harvest where I don't sow and gather where I don't scatter. Then you should have put my money at least on deposit with the bank so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. And so he says, take the bag of gold from him and give it to one who has 10. For whoever has will be given, and they who will have, and they will have in abundance. Whoever does not have, he says, even what they have will be taken from them. And then he says this, and throw that worthless servant into the darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You've got one job to do, and you've been given it. You can't hide out from it. But you know, I guess if there's people who would hide out from it, the equally wrong way to respond to the coming of Jesus is by freaking out. We live in a time when movies are made, books are written, and they're all about the end of the world and it's going to be so bad and it's the zombie apocalypse. And there's this sense of hysteria. I've known this all my life. I lived in a part of East Texas where many people would gather who were afraid of the end of the world. There was a big religious organization across the street that told people that the end of the world was coming, and we had people come from all over the country to move to our area of Big Sandy. The guy that lived across the street was from California. He was a wealthy man, and he had bought 1,000 acres. And out in the middle of it, he built a fortress, and he had the contractors put in the walls lead insulation so that he could survive a nuclear holocaust. Even as a kid, I realized this was really stupid. Any government in the world that had, you know, nuclear bombs wasn't going to waste one on Big Sandy, population 1,200 people. Let's be honest, not going to happen. But this guy freaked out to the extreme. He lived his whole life afraid. So this is the other way we can't respond to the second coming of Jesus. So what do we do? The answer is by being prepared. This spring, when spring hits, all of the weather programs on television are say, get weather ready, tornadoes are coming. And we're supposed to pay attention to it. Jesus used an analogy like that. In Matthew 16, he says, hey guys, you know how to interpret the appearance of the sky. I mean, you can look and see wicked weather is coming. But can you interpret the sign of the times? He used an analogy in the Old Testament like this about a group of people called the tribe of Issachar. Now, most of us don't know most of the tribes probably, but we especially don't know the tribe of Issachar. But Chronicles tells us that the tribe of Issachar had 200 leaders. To me, it's like you could make a movie out of this. You know, there's the 300, now you could do the 200. There were 200 leaders, and all these men understood the signs of the times. And then it says this, and they knew the best course for Israel to take. They were leaders. They didn't freak out. They didn't hide out. They got ready. And so the last question, I guess, that we ask then is, why? Why did Jesus tell this to his disciples? Hey, guys, something's going to happen, and I don't know when it's going to happen. Well, thanks a lot. Why did you just tell me that? The biblical answer for that is the advent, the parousia, The word in the Greek, parousia, means the coming of Jesus. And Latin, adventus, is the same thing. It's he's going to come back. And there are two things about his coming that everyone needs to pay attention to. One is that his coming will be sudden. It's not like we can say, you know, I think I'm going to put off worrying about the things God wants me to do to the day when I see Jesus coming, and then I'm going to go, you know what? Do I have a few minutes to get everything right? No, now is the day when we have to do that. The urgency is now to get ready. And that's what Advent is all about. But then also, because his coming will be unexpected. He gives a couple of analogies. One is he says it's like a thief breaking into a house. He doesn't say, hey, by the way, I'm going to break into your house tonight. It's unexpected. He said it's like it was in the days of Noah. People are going to eat and they're going to drink. I guess today he might say they're going to the mall to go shopping. Everything is just a normal, ordinary day. And then he comes, unexpected. The king is coming. Are you ready?